This is Frothy Solutions. He is notorious on the incel forums for posting on Reddit asking how he can get invited to college parties at the age of 49, almost 50. And what I have to admit is kind of ballsy is he actually re-enrolled in college and is there right now, and he'd like to share his experience. So tell us about yourself. So you re-enrolled in college. So what was your experience?
Well, wasn't that different from when I first enrolled. When I first enrolled, I it's kind of invisible. I'm not sure how much of that is on me and my social ineptitude. But when I first went to college, I was pretty much invisible. And I am pretty much invisible now. But I guess I'm taking more steps to make myself apparent. I've going to the college nightclubs. I've got video of that. If you search YouTube, Frothy Solutions, you will find my channel. I've also started picking up volunteer shifts at a college bar and grill where a lot of college students work. And it's been a nice little outlet for interacting with college students. I don't think otherwise I'd be able to.
Okay, and is this right? Are you still a virgin?
I am.
Yep, welcome to the Virgin Club. I am too. I'm a 25-year-old virgin.
I'm 49. But, I should be welcoming you.
So you're re-enrolled in college. So we talked the other day, and you said a lot of your troubles, if I understand right, is you grew up in the inner city in Philly, right? And you kind of said that what you would do is you thought of yourself as a boy genius, and you tried to project that image. However, it alienated you from your peers. Is that true?
It's close. I didn't think of myself as a boy genius. I knew I wasn't, but I liked to pretend that I was to impress my teachers and classmates.
Dude, put on a facade.
Yes, a facade. That is exactly what it was. And that facade handicapped me socially.
Okay. It seems to be a common theme with incels. I kind of did that too. I sort of, you know, even though I knew it wasn't true, I would like to think, you know, oh, I know something the normies don't know. That kind of vibe.
Yeah. See, I got a lot of appreciation from my teachers, and I guess that meant more to me than having friends. But eventually, that wore me down. And by high school, I was tired of not having friends. But the damage was done by then.
Okay. I talked about on the show the other day, it seems college kind of the make or break point. You know, what happens is people lose their social circles. It's hard to make new social circles because you move across the country, things like that. A lot of dating that the incel sphere discusses about is social circles. So you can't really meet girls if you don't have a big social circle. So tell us, so you went to, I believe, Temple University.
Originally,
initially.
I went to Temple. Yeah, and then okay. I went to Drexel.
And you're enrolled in Drexel now. So you studied IT. But then, just curious, what are you studying now at Drexel as you're reliving being a college student?
I'm just taking whatever random general education classes I can, I'm eligible for that will keep me within the credit hour minimum to be able to get student housing and all that stuff.
Okay. Interesting. So tell us about re-enrolling in college. So you said you volunteered at like a nightclub. How did the students receive you? I think
college
you said
bar.
You even made some acquaintances.
Not a nightclub, but my weekend nights. The college bar and grill is where I do the shifts.
Okay.
How am I received by my coworkers? Not bad. I think I'm getting along pretty well with my coworkers. One of them drove me home one night when I was walking home.
Oh, was it a female?
No.
Okay, but, you know, still, they did something nice for you.
Yeah, that's cool. It's not exactly what I'm looking for, but it's a distracting enough win that I can appreciate it.
To get back to our main point, you know, I gotta admit, it's pretty ballsy as a 50-year-old to go back to college. I couldn't do that. You know, I'm a 25-year-old virgin, but I would not have the courage to go back to college. Even now, I feel too old compared to the college kids. But, like, how do you get the courage to just go back to college as you are and, you know, try to make friends, you know, with peers significantly younger than you?
I really, really want it. That's all. I will do anything. That's the answer to that.
How do the female students receive you? Like, I mean, I understand, you know, you're 50, so I mean, they're not gonna look at you in a sexual way. Do they kind of look at you as like sort of the cool dad? How do they receive you, or do they look at you as creepy? We're just curious.
I haven't. None have spoken to me, and I haven't spoken to any of them.
Okay, so you get a lot of interaction with like the guy students.
Most of the interaction comes from my coworkers at the college bar.
Okay. Have you interacted with some females at the college bar? How do they receive you?
Mostly as a coworker.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Well, I touched on it a little bit earlier, but I think the general impression I make on all my coworkers is that I am not very good at my job or very smart, but I'm trying. And so they are patient with me. And they try to help me, try to teach me.
Okay, that's kind of an interesting angle. So I guess it seems people are patient with you on campus.
Oh, no,
I
not
guess
on campus, at work. At work. College, at the college bar and grill where I'm picking up shifts. They're patient with me. As a coworker, I'm not very on the ball as far as the restaurant business, but I'm trying, and they're patient with me because of that.
And a lot of your coworkers are college students.
Yes,
okay.
I think pretty much all of them are.
So, can I just tell the audience, like, when you were in Temple University, when you were in your 20s, what was your typical day that led you to maybe inceldom? I guess for at the time, for lack of a better word.
Well, you know, I didn't really know exactly how I was supposed to make friends. What do students do? What do students meet people? I didn't know that. And because I didn't know that, I think the first mistake I made was that I didn't live on campus. If I lived in the dorms, I would have had a dorm mate, and I would have, you know, a floor neighbors and a common area where I would have met people and seen them every day. That's how I probably would have made friends. But I didn't do that. I left home to go to class. And once class was over, I just went home and, you know, I did my homework and relaxed in my room. Tended to my family's needs. I guess that's what I was. Instead of having friends, I guess I took on the older brother role.
Okay. Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I did instead of socializing. I tended
did you have
to my younger
siblings?
Sisters. And, yes, I do. I have many.
Oh.
All of them. Well, no, I have mostly sisters and one brother. He's the youngest of our family.
How many sisters?
Four.
Four. Are you the oldest child?
I am the oldest child, and so I guess the role I took on instead of the guy with friends, I was the older brother and the firstborn.
Okay, so that's very interesting. Were they younger by a lot of years? Because I have a little brother, and he's 10 years younger than me, so I'm kind of the big brother, and yeah. I didn't have many friends, but I would tend to him. You know, he was a baby toddler a lot of the time when I was growing up. So, you know, I would always tend to him. He's adopted, though. I'm the oldest biological child, but yeah, kind of similar case with me.
No, not as young as 10 years younger. But in fact, no, that 10 years, it's not that wide a gap.
True. I guess I briefly brought this up, so it's like, you kind of would go home, be the older brother role. I don't know if this had anything to do with it. Steve Holka talks about it, but you're Gen X. So you're like, I think, born in the 70s or 80s. So what happened is, according to his accounts, a lot of older boomer men would divorce their wives and then marry younger college girls. So sometimes you'd see a 35-year-old with a 22-year-old, but they would be poaching the available women out of your dating pool. So I don't know if that's true. When we talked, you said you didn't see much of that, but it's a factor, I wonder, because it seems like a lot of guys in Gen X, like Steve Hoka, you know, a lot of the Manosphere guys, they're in the Gen X, you know, like a lot of kind of TFLers, incel types are Gen X. So
what does TFL mean?
True forced loneliness.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm saying I didn't notice it because I have a very bad tunnel vision.
Yeah, I have that too. You know, that's what happens with a lot of kind of TFL incel types like us. You know, we're very into our own worlds, I guess, you know, that we miss out what's going on around us, you know?
I am trying, but, you know.
Briefly, how did you get into the incel sphere, if you don't mind telling the audience again?
Okay, well, it was the summer of 2014. I had just broken up with video games. I was looking for hobbies, couldn't find any. And I had realized I had wasted my life. I was 40. I had never had sex. And all these years I told myself, you know, sex was not important because I had video games and the like. And now I don't have video games and the like. So I have to wonder, how much time do I have left to eke out some kind of life that I can be? And because I was worried about that, I decided to look for communities for people who, you know, were sexless and worried about that sexlessness. But before that even happened, I had heard about the incel community from these YouTube listicles that used to really be around 2015. I think it was top 10 most controversial, scariest, most dangerous in Reddit subreddit communities. And that's how I first heard about the incel. But I didn't join then. What happened was, around 2018, I joined Forever Alone. After I was just spent of hobbies and realized, you know, I really need to hit this sex life thing before I am so old that there is no point in having it. And, what a coincidence, in 2018, that was the year Alec Manassian committed his horrible tragedy. And while I, you know, I'm against running people over in vans, I guess it's kind of a controversial point to take, but I'm not. I would not hit people with vans. You know, other people might disagree. But me personally, I do not believe in running people over in vans. However, I would like to say I didn't like Forever Alone's response to it. They used this moment to say, look, we are not the incels. We don't care about the incels. And I found that a little hypocritical because this was a community that was saying, oh, well, suicide is fine because loneliness is a very, very extenuating circumstance. And I was like, well, hold on. I am not in favor of suicide just as much as I am not in favor of hitting fans. So if we can understand that suicide is a reprehensible thing, although if we can understand that suicide, as reprehensible as it is, comes from a very deep sadness, surely we can understand why someone would, you know, think about you know, hitting somebody with a van. You shouldn't do either. But you shouldn't use this moment to say, no, the incels, their misery doesn't matter. Only our misery doesn't matter. We suicidal ones. Our misery only is the only one that matters. Understand us. Don't understand those incels. They're crazy. We deserve sympathy. I didn't think that was cool. So I decided to leave forever alone. And I guess out of curiosity or spite or just as a way of maybe extending some kind of olive branch, I decided to join the incel community. But by then, the subreddit had been banned and they had migrated to the forum. And that's how I joined the forum.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Seems like a lot of Forever Alone is like a pipeline to the incels, you know, because it's like a lot of them are incels in denial, but it's like, you know, what's odd is they think, oh, all incels hit people with vans, but it's like, no, you know, you shouldn't be too binary. Of course, none of us condone violence. The thing, though, is we shouldn't be grouped with those extremist groups. And it seems like Forever Alone is not sympathetic to people who are facing the same issues as them, it seems. Is that right?
Yeah, they don't care about they will say for themselves that loneliness is so miserable that they will do horrible things. But if you're an incel and you do horrible things for your misery, you're wrong.
Yeah, it's the inconsistency.
Yes, it's the hypocrisy.
Kind of wrapping up, what the audience wants to know is why didn't you try to lose your virginity, like see legal escorts or, you know, go to Nevada where it's legal, or I've heard parts of Tijuana in Mexico, it's legal to see ladies of the evening. So why did you go through almost like 40 years not taking care of that issue, I guess we want to know?
I should preface, there's a number of reasons. But I guess the chief among them, it wouldn't really make up for what I missed out on. I want a woman to want me, and a prostitute does not want to be with me. She wants your money. She's putting up with you.
So you want a relationship?
No. I just want a woman to like me, and maybe we can be friends, and have sex now and then, but we would not be committed, no.
I guess a friends with benefits.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. I mean, though, what people wonder, though, is, you know, I guess on the incel forums, some users ask, you know, aren't you denying yourself pleasure? Because even though, realistically, the thing is, you're unable to find a woman who wants to do friends with benefits, so wouldn't the best second choice be to pay for sex? So a lot of people on the incel forums criticize you and are confused why you're depriving yourself pleasure to kind of fulfill this, I guess, fantasy, for lack of a better word.
Well, a lot of people, maybe even rightly, will tell me that I'm in denial thinking that I can make this happen. They might be right. But I don't want to be a prostitute. It's not really... The prospect, I think about it. I've looked into the Hong Kong, Hong Kong and Tijuana. And, every time I face the prospect, I just find myself disgusted with it. I don't want it. And I feel like if I do it even once, I will have wasted what I might have had.
So this first time.
To be good, you know, I've waited all these years. If I'm gonna have sex, it better be worth the wait.
Okay, so you want to be very special.
Want it to be worth the wait? Yes.
So I guess what's a little contradictory, though, is it seems like I guess you keep waiting to have this special moment, but maybe I guess what I wonder in particular is, wouldn't it make sense for you to, you know, lose your virginity to a legal escort, and then after that, you can then try to pursue a special way to have sex. You know, sure, it won't be losing your virginity, but it would be the best realistic option. You know what I mean? It's that's what's confusing to me, you know? So I'm just honestly curious.
What's probably realistic is giving up on this idea that I will have special sex ever and just biting the bullet and just buying it for the rest of my life. That's probably what's realistic. But I am so disgusted by the idea, I just don't want it. I can't bring myself to want it.
Okay, I kind of understand that. But what we wonder, though, is like, maybe instead of giving up, why not change your plan, you know? Like, sometimes you can't get everything you want in life, but maybe try to change your plan, for lack of a better word, you know what I mean?
Change my plan to like spending my virginity and then later having something special?
Maybe, yeah, you know, at least have some sex, you know, and the Hong Kong hotel, you know, I've heard it's fun, or you could go to Las Vegas or Thailand. Wouldn't it make sense to have sex, but, you know, you'll be paying for it, but try to have fun with it and then maybe try to have sex another time, but make it special. You know, it's like modifying your plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it would haunt me, you know. I would never be able to forgive myself if I did it.
So you're very set on losing it in that special way, I guess you could say.
Set is the wrong word. It's a neurosis. You know, I'm not saying it's realistic what I want to achieve, but it's this or nothing. And I can't help it, and I don't think I want help. As unrealistic as this goal is, I think I'd rather just commit to this goal, or die trying. I'm. It's only. I won't be 50 for another 9 months. But I will be 50, and. You know, it's like, you know, at that point, there's no joy to be found in anything else but this crazy dream that I have.
I guess what we can say is, I'm like this too, you know, like, I have a very black and white kind of thinking. Do you kind of feel that way?
For my ambitions, yes. I'm very much broken in the way that I will not compromise.
I understand, but I'm just curious, do you kind of have that very black and white thinking with other aspects in your life? Because I can say for myself, I kind of do.
Yeah, I think so. In other things, I am very, I'm not very open to flexible possibilities.
It can be like that too. You know, on the incel forums, you know, they use the term autism as an insult. Sometimes people have said, you know, oh, pyramid, you know, not to insult you, but sometimes you have a very autistic way of thinking. You're very black and white. No disrespect, but is it possible you might have a little bit of autistic thinking tendencies, or have others said you might be a little autistic in your thinking?
I myself don't understand enough about autism to gauge whether I am autistic, but plenty of people have asked me if I am.
Same for me, too. I don't think I am, or I can't really gauge for sure, you know, but I do know that I do have a very black and white thinking, and a lot of people say autism, you know, like with both you and me, we have a very black and white thinking when it comes to things. So, you know, it could be possible. Well, we might be a little autistic. Who knows? So,
all right, how about this? I don't know what autism is, but everyone else seems to know what autism is. If they say that I'm autistic, I guess I must be.
Who knows? I mean, you know, they're not a doctor. The only way to really find out is a doctor, but, you know.
I could see a doctor.
This isn't really about a doctor or not. I'm just saying, you know, we have a very kind of certain narrow tunnel vision thinking, as you say. So, you know, we just wonder, it seems a lot of TFL incel types might have this very black and white thinking, might be a little on the autism spectrum. So that's why I wonder. So before we go, what life advice would you give to young cells as a older, more seasoned incel?
Well, initially, I might have said something like, go out and live your lives. Don't waste time. Take what opportunities are available to you right now. don't get as old as I am and have nothing to show for it. But recently, I've been hearing some things about how the opportunities have all dried up, that there simply aren't enough people being born. There aren't enough peers your age to have fun with. So my new advice, I guess, would be to address this. Find each other, gather yourselves, and try and if you can find each other, maybe you can have the fun that you should have, that you would have had if there were more people in your area.
Thank you. That's good advice. Really appreciate this, man.
Okay.